Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Tuesday, October 9th, and we got a ton of news to talk about concerning the Miami Dolphins. We are now a couple days removed from that horrible, vile, disgusting, shameful loss to the Cincinnati Bengals, where the Miami Dolphins gave away a victory and, you know, went home with a loss when they should have. Won that game easily, up 17-0. So there's a lot to talk about, and there's a lot of fallout from that game. But let's start off talking about the injury news. And there's really two big pieces of news concerning injuries to the Miami Dolphins right now. First off, Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil is still in the concussion protocol. No word if he will play this upcoming week. We probably won't know till Thursday of this week or so if Tunsil will play. If Tunsil is unable to go, you can write off this game against the Bears as a loss. The Miami Dolphins will have no chance to block the Chicago Bears at all, and the Bears will just run roughshod over the Dolphins this upcoming Sunday. So hopefully Tunsil can go and give Miami, you know, give Miami's offense a chance to at least make a few plays. I think the one thing in the favor of Tunsil here possibly playing is he doesn't really have a history of concussions, so that's good. So we'll see. It's tough to judge here with concussions because, you know, you can't predict this stuff. But we should know later in the week. The other bit of injury news was reported by Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald. He's reporting, according to a league source, safety Rashad Jones has a partially torn labrum, but he intends to play through the injury. And, you know, first off, kudos to Rashad Jones for trying to play through this. A partially torn labrum is a painful injury, and that's something most guys would try to play through. So tip of the cap here to Rashad Jones for trying to play through this and trying to get out on the field with his teammates and trying to get out on the field there with his brothers to play through this injury and help the team win games. But one has to wonder here if at some point, if the Miami Dolphins don't have to step in and shut down Rashad Jones for the rest of the year, this is an injury where if he aggravates it more, if he makes it worse, could really damage his quality of life after football. It could really damage his ability to play, you know, 2019, 2020, and beyond. So I have no problem with him trying to play through this now, but if this starts to get worse, or if the season goes south quickly here, which I think is distinctly possible, unfortunately, the Miami Dolphins probably should step in here and shut him down for the remainder of the year. You hate to see it because the guy, you know, he's trying his best to get out on the field and help his teammates win games each week. And you love to see that. It just shows what kind of a player he is, how much of a leader he is. But, you know, big picture here, the Miami Dolphins have to be careful. They have a lot of money invested in Rashad Jones, and you know, 2018 is not going to be the final season of Miami Dolphins football, and you want to protect that investment beyond this year. So Jones, kudos to him for trying to play through this, but something to keep an eye on here moving forward is that, you know, I don't know how many more games he will have left in him this year, but right now he is playing through a partially torn labrum, and that is very painful, folks. So just keep an eye on Rashad Jones moving forward. There was a report on Monday by Michael Lombardi of The Athletic, in which he is reporting that the Miami Dolphins are shopping wide receiver Devontae Parker via trade. Shortly after that report went public, the Miami Dolphins then came out and said that's 100% false. We're not trying to trade Devontae Parker at all. So a little bit of a he said, she said here with this report. One thing I'll say, Michael Lombardi, if you're asking me who has more credibility here, I would say it's Michael Lombardi. And after the Dolphins came out and said that the report was false and they're not trying to trade him, Lombardi, to his credit, to his credit, came out and said, well, a year ago this time, the Miami Dolphins said they were not shopping Jarvis Landry when they were trying to trade Landry. And he said the Miami Dolphins came out and said publicly that they intended to sign Jarvis Landry and keep him long-term in Miami. We know that was not the case. A, they did try to trade him in season, and they did end up trading him after the season, and they had no intention of keeping him long-term in Miami, really. So, credibility-wise, you have to trust Michael Lombardi here over the Dolphins. The Dolphins have a tendency, you know, lie is a strong word. Let's just say be less than truthful. Let's just say they don't like to show their hand when it comes to this kind of stuff. So Lombardi has the credibility. My issue is with the Miami Dolphins organization. And this organization, you know, it's been bad for the most part for, what, 17 years now or so? I've lost count. It's been bad for a long time. And part of the reason it's bad is because this organization is always a day late and a dollar short, especially with decisions like this. Devontae Parker was drafted in 2015. And since 2015, on the field, he has done absolutely nothing. And after the 2017 season last year, to think that would change this year, you know, you'd have to be a fool. And I know there's some fans out there, but fans are fans, so I don't care about what the fans think. Fans, you know, they got blind faith, blind hope. They don't see things as they should. But this front office, you know, filled with football professionals, should have known better that this guy was not going to turn things around. I know the injuries he's got this year are a little fluky. The finger injury is fluky. The quad injury is fluky. But overall, let's look at the body of work from Devontae Parker. You got the report from Armando Salguero a few months back saying, you know, since his time in Miami, the guy eats junk food all the time, gets no sleep, and he doesn't take care of his body at all, stays up to all hours of the night playing video games. The guy just doesn't act like a professional in the least. You got that, which he got that straight from the Dolphins, so they've known about that for a few years now. So it's not like that's not earth-shattering news to them. They've known about this. On the field, the guy misses games. When he does play, he produces nothing. And this is one of the cases where the stats actually don't lie because he produces nothing on the field. He doesn't help his team win games. So why the Miami Dolphins would look to shop him now when his trade value is at an all-time low? This is as low as it's ever been since he's been in the NFL, when maybe this past offseason, that would have been the time to trade him, where you could have maybe fooled a team who would be like, you know what, we can fix this guy. He's got size. He's got speed. We think in a new situation, we can sort of fix him. You might have got, you know, a fifth-round pick for him or something. Now, what team out of the 31 other teams, what team in their right mind, think about this logically, what team in their right mind would part with anything for a bum like Devontae Parker? The guy's played one game this year, and he's still hurt. No word if he's going to play this upcoming week. Why would you part with a seventh or sixth round pick? Why would you part with a player on your roster? You know, clearly, the Miami Dolphins don't want him. Clearly, the Miami Dolphins have a track record under Adam Gase of just releasing guys in the middle of the year, no matter how much of a quote-unquote big name that they are. You know, the Miami Dolphins must think the other 31 teams in the league are just complete idiots. Why would you even pick up a phone to try and trade them? Teams must laugh. They must laugh at our front office when they get phone calls like this. Devontae Parker is a bum. He's a first-round bust, and he's done nothing in this league. And why any other team would part with anything for him is beyond me. And I don't think out of the other 31 teams, there is one team out there dumb enough to part with anything, even a conditional pick. Why would you do it? They're probably going to just release him here in a few days or a week if they're that fed up with him where they want to move on from him. So, look, I've said this about Devontae Parker now for a few years. Walking off the bus, you know, he looks the part, and he's a guy you, if you're sitting in a field playing football and you're picking up teams, he's the guy you want. But when it comes to actually performing on the field, Parker looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. The guy does nothing. He's a soft player, and I don't care what his height is. I don't care what his catch radius is, what the size of his hands are, how high he can jump, how fast he can run. At the end of the day, he is not a football player at all, and the Miami Dolphins have zero, and listen, zero chance to trade. There is not a team out there dumb enough to give up anything for Devontae Parker, so it sounds like Miami will probably release him here. You know, I don't know if it'll be soon. I don't know if it'll be in a week or two. But even if they did hold on to him, you know, this is his last year in Miami. There's no chance they're going to bring him back. And I'm sorry, I trust Michael Lombardi of the Athletic 100% here and not the Miami Dolphins. Because, you know, credibility-wise and track record-wise, the Miami Dolphins really have none when it comes to stories like this and reports like this, which isn't a bad thing. I understand their position. They don't want to show their hand. They don't want news of this to leak out in case they want to hold on to Parker for the next 11 weeks. I get it. They have to say that sort of, but, you know, be smart. Don't be naive. Lombardi's report is 100% true, and the Dolphins are trying to move on from Parker. Problem is, nobody wants him because he's not any good, and that's just the cold, hard truth. Let me just close out here, and look, for those of you who listen to the post-game wrap-up show with myself and Tom on Sunday or on Monday, if you heard it because it dropped late on Sunday, you know, it was a very animated post-game wrap-up show, and we're a couple days removed from that, and I was thinking about my rant on Ryan Tannehill there, which, for those of you who didn't listen to the post-game wrap-up show, I pretty much said, you know, it's over for Tannehill in Miami, it's time to move on. I mean, obviously, he's going to play the remainder of this year, but after this year, it is 100% time to move on. He cannot be back in Miami next year in 2019 at all under any circumstances. It's just time to part ways. And I've been thinking, you know, was I overboard with some of the stuff I said? What, I mean, I didn't think it was a knee-jerk reaction because this really is like 7 years in the making here. It's been since 2012 since he's been in Miami as a starting quarterback. So I did some introspect, well, that's not the right word, some soul-searching, but was I over the top too much? And I came to this conclusion. No, I wasn't. In fact, I probably wasn't hard enough on him. And looking around the past 48 hours or so, the tide has sort of shifted on Tannehill here in that you're seeing more and more people who have supported him over the years, who have, you know, sort of backed him up over the years, sort of turned on him. There's two former players of the Miami Dolphins who, after the game on Sunday, you know, publicly went out and sort of knocked him. O.J. McDuffie, he went on social media and said he has no faith in Ryan Tannehill ever. I don't have the exact quote in front of me. He said pretty much he has no faith in Ryan Tannehill putting together a game-winning drive late in the game on a consistent basis if you're down or something to that effect. He pretty much said he just has no faith in him. Former Miami Dolphins fullback Keith Byers said Tannehill's just another guy, nothing special. It's like not, he's just not any good, essentially. And, you know, I'm in that camp now. I am firmly in that camp. I am off the Ryan Tannehill bandwagon. It's time to move on. The man has been in Miami since 2012. And part of this falls at the feet of the head coach. And I don't know how this season's going to play out. There's still 11 games left. It's a lot of games. And, you know, as I said at the post-game wrap-up show on Sunday, if I'm coming out strong here against Tannehill and Gase, if they want to shut me up, then they have an opportunity every Sunday between now and the first week of January to prove me wrong. I don't think they will, but if they go out there and perform well, play well, and win games, you know, I will come here and admit I was wrong. But right now, I don't think I'm wrong. I think these guys have sort of hit their expiration date in Miami, both Gase and Tannehill, and it's time at the end of the year probably to move on unless we see a miracle turnaround here. And I know it's tough to say because they are 3-2. They're above 500 and all that stuff, and you're saying miracle turnaround, but we see the handwriting on the wall. We sort of know where this is going here quick, and it's not looking good. Adam Gase has tied himself to Ryan Tannehill. Adam Gase has been head coach of the Miami Dolphins for 3 years now. He has had three drafts to take a quarterback to either groom or replace Tannehill with. He has refused to. And I'm not talking about picking a guy in round 5 or 6. I mean, early rounds, take a guy, sort of pound the table saying, we need this guy. He's going to be someone who can either push Tannehill, make him better, or maybe someday replace him. He refuses to do it. He has stuck with Ryan Tannehill this entire time. And now he is going to either sink or swim with him. And it looks like he might be sinking with him. Because let's be honest, Adam Gase's resume is pretty much made by Peyton Manning. And, you know, Peyton Manning is a once-in-a-lifetime type player. Peyton Manning ain't walking through the doors in the Miami Dolphins to play. You're not getting the next young Peyton Manning in Miami anytime soon. So Adam Gase, you know, if this ends badly, which I'm not saying it will, I'm saying if, you know, he's going to take the heat here. He's going to take the fall in my book. It would be a total house cleaning top to bottom. And part of this is on him. And let's talk a little bit more about Tannehill. And let's talk about some numbers. There's a great article everyone must check out in the Miami Herald by Barry Jackson as he crunches some numbers and puts out some facts and some figures that, you know, let you know this ain't working here with Ryan Tannehill. And before we get to the numbers, there's just, you know, the Tannehill, there's still a segment of this fan base, and it's getting smaller by the day, who will still support him and still go, not his fault, not his fault. Offensive line, he's got no Devontae Parker, blah, blah, blah. It's the play calling. It's always somebody else's fault, not his fault. But, you know, nobody wants to hear it no more. There are the sicko fans of Ryan Tannehill who'll defend him to the cows come home. There's, I've seen people, right, you know, whether they have a blog or they post on a message board, write novels, literally pair endless novels. We're telling you, you know, at 1 p.m. games on Sunday under the harvest moon, Ryan Tannehill's got a passer rating of blah, blah, blah. And they come up with these oddball stats and they put up pie charts and they chart throws and they show graphs of lines going every which way. And this is why Ryan Tannehill doesn't suck. And you know what? That that is utter horseshit. It's worthless. It's a waste of time. These people waste their time with that. Football is not a complicated sport. You either play well or you don't play well. You either win games or you lose games. And if you're a quarterback, I'm sorry, wins and losses. Well, it's not totally fair that it's a quarterback stat. You are tied to your team winning games. You're tied to your offense scoring points. You're tied to your offense moving the ball. And, you know, Tannehill comes up short in every one of those categories. So I'm sick of the sicko fans. I'm sick of reading the novels. I'm sick of the pie charts and the graphs and the charting throws. It's just, see, this, he's not that bad. He's got this, that. And look, in this one game in 2015, they'll pick a random game from like 2015 or 2014 and they'll rehash it now in 2018. See, he's pretty good. Look at that. Please, enough. Enough. Get the nerds out of the sport. They don't understand what they're talking about. And I'm sick of it. And I'm sick of reading that stuff. And, you know, it's too much. We have 2012 to 2018. We have a body of work. And the body of work is bad. And let's go to some of these stats here. Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald put out, on plays where the quarterback is under pressure from a pass rush, this season, Ryan Tannehill ranks 28th in passer rating at 58.5. Now, I know some of you say, well, his offensive line's no good. So what? He ain't the only quarterback who's under pressure in games, okay? There's every quarterback is going to face pressure. They're going to face the blitz. You have to perform better than the 28th best quarterback in the league. Here's another stat. Among all quarterbacks who have taken at least 50% of their team snaps, Tannehill, in those pressure situations, is tied for 24th in completions, 24th in yards, and 22nd in passer rating. That sucks. Again, you have to be better than that. Those numbers right there are not numbers of a franchise quarterback, are not numbers of someone you continue to build around. They're just not. Tannehill has taken 12 sacks and thrown 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions on those plays under pressure this year. So when he's under pressure, he crumbles. 12 sacks, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That's not good enough. This past Sunday, on those pressure plays, Tannehill was 6 of 12 for 65 yards and 2 interceptions with a strip sack. His passer rating, 26.7. That's an F. That's miserable. That's worse than the league type stuff. That's laughingstock of the league type stuff. Not good enough. On those plays in 2016, you want to go back to 2016, because every Ryan Tannehill defender, they think the sport of football started in the year 2016. And in 2016, after week 4 or 5, whatever it was, that's when the sport of football starts, because those are the only numbers we want to use to talk about Ryan Tannehill. So on those pressure plays in 2016, where he faced a successful pass rush, Tannehill completed 71 of 133 passes for 840 yards with 29 sacks, 3 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. That's still missing 3 games, okay? Still missing 3 games, those are his numbers. A 49.1 passer rating, which ranked 25th of 28th quarterbacks. 25th out of 28 quarterbacks. Again, Tannehill's not the guy. Okay? We have a body of work now, and it's just clearly time to move on. He has the next 11 games to showcase himself for another team in 2019. Who that team will be, I don't know, but it will not be in Miami. It is going to be a toxic environment. First off, if the Miami Dolphins decide to move on from Adam Gase at the end of this year, there is no chance in hell any new head coach would keep Tannehill. Tannehill, you know, was here with Joe Philbin. He's gone. He was here with Adam Gase. If they do move on from Adam Gase, you think a third head coach is going to want Tannehill, even in the role of a backup in Miami? No chance, no how. And I don't know if Adam Gase is gone. There's still a lot to play. I'm just saying if. So everybody calm down. It's an if, I'm saying. But the other thing with Tannehill is, you know, I mean, I don't know how many chances you're going to get in this league. And he's had opportunity after opportunity from 2012. And, you know, it's just the writing's on the wall. This is it. He's not good enough. He's never going to lead the Miami Dolphins deep in the playoffs. And if that's not the case, then it's time to move on. And one of the other things that drives me nuts from these sicko Tannehill fans, and that's what they are. They're sicko fans who can't criticize him even when he has an off day. They're saying, well, if you move on from him, who are you going to get? I don't know. And then they say, well, if you move on from him, you know, you're going to have to rebuild, and that means you're going to have 1 or 2 years where you don't win games. We're not winning games now, folks, okay? We're not going to the playoffs year in, year out. We're not winning games now. At some point, you have to try something new. So it's just time to move on. And, you know, I thought about this after the post-game wrap-up show on Sunday. Was I too hard on him? Maybe I was too much same day, a few hours after the game, too much in the moment. No, not at all. I don't think I was hard enough. It's just time to move on. And everyone, please check out that article from Barry Jackson in the Miami Herald, where he goes through even more numbers than I gave you, just showing you it's just not working. And you can blame the offensive line all you want. You can blame this. You can blame that. You know, no quarterback's ever going to have a perfect situation. It's just not going to happen. Every quarterback, you know, is going to lose starters on the offensive line. Tom Brady won a Super Bowl losing three offensive linemen. You know, he found a way to fight through it. He found a way to make it work. You know, it happens. Guys get hurt in this league. They do. And you have to find a way to play through it. Just because your offensive line's bad doesn't give you the right to just, you know, throw the ball willy-nilly all over the field and turn it over. You can't do that. And that's what Tannehill did this past Sunday. And at least with me, it was the final straw that broke the camel's back. Again, nothing personal. He seems like a great guy. Seems like a great husband. Seems like a great father. But just purely on the football field, it's not working out. And it's time to split this up at the end of the 2018 season. But we'll see. So that's all I have for today's show. We're going to have podcasts the rest of the week. Now, later in the week, I am flying out of here, heading down to South Florida. I will be covering the Dolphins game. So I'll probably drop a podcast Friday morning before I leave. But we're going to have shows all week. I'll be joining a Chicago Bears podcast on Tuesday. Once that show drops, I'll post a link to it up here on this website. That'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to talking to some Chicago Bears fans who run a great podcast. Just talk about this upcoming week's game. And always be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and follow me on Instagram at Dolphins Talk. Because once I get down to South Florida, we're going to have a ton of content, videos, pictures, and everything up on the website, up on our social media accounts. So you're going to want to follow us there as we're going to have a ton of great content this weekend. Be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com, as we have a ton of new articles up. Matt wrote a new article, and we just have so many new articles up from our great staff and all of our great writers. You're going to want to read them. You're going to want to check them out, as well as wherever you listen to this podcast, be sure to subscribe to it, whether on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Podbean, Stitcher. Be sure to subscribe to it, and you can always leave us a comment and a rating. It is appreciated. So that's all I have for today. Everyone, have a great rest of your Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.